dudes. Everything else sucks. This is the Max Level Podcast. Welcome home for the uninitiated. Max Level Weekly Breakfast Powwow brought to you by RPGR.com. I'm your host, Brian, and joining me on the show this morning, he is the host of the Media Files every single Friday. It is Kyle.
Everything else does suck, does it?
That one's from you. Yeah. I was like, shit, we don't have an opening. You're like, everything sucks. I was like, all right, cool.
Nothing is fresh. Nothing is new.
Nothing is exciting.
January is a sucky month, man.
It can be.
There's just nothing really going on. You're like in like holiday hangover.
Mm.
You've gotten in fight with your family like
sure.
Just a couple weeks ago. There's no new good video games except there is this week. No new good movies. New good TV show this week.
Real good TV show this week. Yes, some good video
hopefully.
Games too. Yeah, hopefully. I guess we don't know for sure, but all signs point to it being good.
I'm actually going to see a movie today. Next week's episode of the Media File.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Oh, well, I'm glad to have you back on the show. I was with Sev last week for Thunderdome, but we'll talk about everything in just a second. Special shout out to Occam's Laser for a majority of the music here today during the show. Go check them out wherever you can find music and people, including YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You won't be disappointed. Please take a moment and do us a favor if you'd be so kind. Head on over to Apple Podcasts or whichever app you chose to listen to us on and drop us a quick rating and a review. It really does help us out in terms of visibility so that this show continues to grow. And remember, we are on Patreon now as well. Patreon.com/RPG Era. Check out our tiers, see what we're doing, and if you feel inclined, toss us a couple bucks each month. If not, continue to listen to the episodes as they upload each week. Works wonders as well. And of course, special shout out to current executive producers, Jexx and Zandku. So yeah, man, you weren't on the episode last time, which was Thunderdome, which you would be excited to know was won by the Legend of Heroes.
No.
And once again.
Everything's a sham now. This is what I mean by
everything sucks. Yeah, you see, it's what happens when you're not here.
Even if I would have been there, it would have happened.
Granted, you were here. I think I used your save in the exact spot you would have used it anyway.
I think so.
Right as Resident Evil 4 came off early because of Sev.
What a clown.
Yeah, well, aren't we all?
What a dingling.
Aren't we all?
I guess that's true. We're living in a clown world. Everything sucks. It's a clown world.
It's just pretty incredible that by the magic of two saves, which you tried to knock off the Legend of Heroes and that Yakuza game, kind of early, right? I mean, they were early for you
because you're not early though.
Not that early though. I mean, it wasn't like you put them at 37 and 36 or whatever the bottom was.
Right.
But those two saves, because that's what we used our shit on, and where Sev and I had them, number one and number two games for the month.
Unreal.
And we didn't even have them that high. Like, I had one at 3 and one at 6, and I think Sev had Yakuza at 1 and Trails at
2.
3? No, 3.
You think so?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't. It's just,
2 was something else, but yeah. Had you have been here, I don't know that anything would have changed.
Nothing would have changed.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? We're being overridden. We need someone else here to balance the powers.
Got to get Sean or Dan to show back up.
See, Sean's a wild card, though. He's going to have, like, Yakuza at number one, even though he has no intention of playing it.
Yeah, he might hurt you more than help you. You never know.
You never know.
You just never know. The only one you can count on is Dan. Count on to load the bottom of his list up with Japanese games. You can definitely count on that.
Yeah, Dan would do that.
That's always a given. Always a given.
But then you get games like Gunmetal Gore at number one for him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Or Gungrave Gore, whatever that is.
I think it was called Gungrave Gore is what it was called. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, all right, man. Well, as we jump into a little what's new with you, you haven't told me what you're talking about yet, so I think I will kick things off. And I wasn't sure what I was going to bring to the table for this episode because I have been running through several different games as of right now. Since the beginning of the year, I have finished Star Ocean, The Divine Force. I did, which I've already talked about on the show. I did finish Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII Reunion, which we talked about last week during the episode where we did the draft and got distracted often. And then I've also been playing Modern Warfare 2, speaking of Dan, to make him happy.
Yeah.
Make him proud.
Make Daddy Dan proud.
I know. Got to make him happy. And
you know what? I'm going to start. I'm going to go ahead of you here, actually, because this ties into what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, damn. I guess.
Because
To be continued.
Because you've also been playing the River City Girls games, which you're going to talk about here, right?
That's what I was getting to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I've also been playing through quite a few games, right? I did finish Pokemon, which is the only game I've finished so far this year. I started High on Life, and I played that for a little bit. High on Life is exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Well, I've fallen in love with the humor in that game.
Yeah, it's funny and actually runs really well and looks really nice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But it's simple. You know, there's not a lot of deep mechanics going on from one set piece to the next, and you're pretty much just there for the writing and dialogue.
Sure. It's clearly the strong suit.
It's Justin Roiland, right? And so there is some really solid writing and dialogue going on in that game. Right at the beginning of the game, you're actually playing a video game inside of the game, and this commander is like yelling at you to do things, and you can tell that it's entirely improv'd, which is hilarious. Like, he's like stuttering through words because they did not script that part of the game, and so he's just yelling at you to do things. It's so funny.
That's the moment where he tells you to double jump, and it's like, oh shit, there's no double jump.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very funny. So I do think there's some good and some bad. You know, it's not a perfect game, but for a little bit of a laugh, it's the reason I'm not very far into it, is because I have a hard time like sitting down and playing that game for long periods of time.
Sure.
But the writing is, you know, solid. It's funny. It's a playable episode of Rick and Morty, more or less. I've been playing through Moonlighter, which I'm getting. Yeah, I'm over the halfway point. I'm kind of closing in on one of the final dungeons there.
Great game.
I have been really deep back into A Plague Tale Requiem.
Oh.
And making my way through that.
What chapter?
I'm on chapter 11 now, I believe.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm making my way through that game.
That's got to be over half, if not.
It's over half. I'm over halfway done, yeah.
Over two. Two-thirds maybe as well.
Maybe right around the two-thirds mark.
Okay.
So I'm making my way through that. I do want to get that done.
Making your way downtown?
Yeah, walking fast. Mm-hmm. Sneaking fast. Rats are passing as I'm homebound. It's just a brilliant game. It's so much fun. I've been getting through that. And then I've got, you know, this whole big backlog of games that I do want to get through as well. However, I want to point out here that I am... Oh, and Chained Echoes. I'm in Chained Echoes as well. So I'm playing all these games kind of intermittently. I am in, like, last place in our Discord right now for the game challenge. I have only completed one game in the 14 days of this year.
Well, you are not in last.
Well, not in last, but, like, for the people that are really trying here...
How about the participation this year so far?
This is what I want to talk about. This is my topic this week, because out of nowhere, the community of RPG Era stepped the hell up and are all deciding to be every single video game they can get their hands on. You coming out strong with four games right at the top of the year is pretty impressive.
I got a front load.
Well, I try to do that too. I was like, I'm going to front load, you know, some of these early games this year, and I just haven't been able to get through any of them besides Pokemon. But Joe the Chode, 9 games so far this year.
Psycho.
And we thought he was joking when he said 100.
I mean, it's in his description on the website we use to track. I was like, this is probably a joke, but let's see what
he
goes.
He was not joking, I don't
no,
think.
He's not.
I think he was being genuine.
He's going to take you on and beat all Borderlands games before you even finish the first one, before you even boot up the first one.
No, I've booted up the first one.
Oh, there you go.
I'm a few hours into the first one, actually. But Viz is a couple games deep now. We've got Princess Tiana, who's thrown her hat into the ring, assuming it's a she. I actually don't know.
But with a name.
Oh, it's Viz's sister. Okay, so yeah. it is a she. Okay.
Yeah.
Bedroth is in here, beating games left and right like crazy.
Yeah, he and I talked about that on this week's episode of BG Mania that'll upload in a couple days, maybe, depending on when everything posts. I have no idea. But yeah, 5 games so far.
We're following Zanku, who is beating games all around the country while he drives his truck. And
I love that he's going to do that just because I said all the games on this list will be finished in a random location in the back of a cab on the road.
I love it.
I'm just, dude, I put the stupidest shit in everybody's description.
And then Coyote. Who's this? Coyote, right?
Melissa. Golden Coyote, yeah.
Wait, who's Melissa?
She's a listener of BG Mania.
All right. Well, Melissa in here killing it as well. I mean, all of these people out of nowhere deciding to kill it. And I'm getting left in the dust. I'm usually the one that's like front loading games on the year. Dan even popped in, said he's about to finish some. Has Frank finished one so far? I thought he did. No, not yet.
Okay, Frank's but not he's finished gonna try anything. To. He's shooting for 12.
And good for him, man. Good on him for it. I think that I am just like blown away by
say,
the how
Dan,
far this
Dan
channel
not finished
has blown
anything.
Up.
Jexax hasn't finished anything yet. He's slacking. And then
that boy got twins though.
Sev hasn't finished anything yet either, which
that's
is surprising.
See, that's shocking to me.
14 days into the year, Sev's been really, really busy with his new job lately. And
not worth it.
Still plugging away at Chained Echoes, he told me last I knew what he was up to, which when One Piece Odyssey shipped.
This is what I've been doing, is switching my time between games, right? Where I am like, on my Switch, I'm playing Moonlighter. On my Xbox, I'm playing A Plague Tale. On my computer, I'm playing Chained Echoes. So like, I'm like, it's wherever I am at the moment, I've got a game to play. But I am so impressed with everybody this year. That's really what I wanted to talk about, was the massive amount of participation we're getting in the Game Challenge channel on our Discord.
It's exciting.
And it's not too late to start. We're only 2 weeks into the year right now.
Indeed.
If you want to jump in, join, let us know how many games you want to beat this year, how many you've beaten so far, and just pop in, man. The most supportive channel in our Discord. Like, somebody finishes a game and everyone's like, yeah, like people are cheering, like talking. It's spurned so much discussion. Like, it's just been a really, really pleasant time.
Sean's finished God of War already this year.
Oh my gosh. Me and Sean at the same number.
Yeah. What if he won't, but what if he were to finish Ragnarok before you finished game number two? I know he won't. It's not even fathomable. Actually, it's probably not even worth discussing. It won't happen.
Don't. And if he does, Brian, I post nudes of me in the Discord channel.
Seth's foaming and at the mouth, anticipating and waiting.
Nudes of me in the Discord.
The memes and the artwork that he can make. He's ready.
He's been really lacking on the meme front lately, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's lacking on everything, man.
What a slacker. Yeah, jobs. Blah.
I know. Who needs them?
What are they good for?
But yeah, that brings me back to River City Girls then.
Yeah, what were you saying?
Which has been out now for, I don't know, almost a month, actually.
Almost a month, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember it came out for some reason on December 2nd over in Asia and Japan, but we didn't see it until the 15th.
Oh, that's right. They had a localization
problem. Yeah, there was like a 2 week delay. Yeah, so we didn't see it elsewhere in the world until December 15th. So recording date, January 14th, about a month. And I finally was able to jump into it and play through it. I did want to make it a point to finish River City Girls Zero first, which is it's not really a remake, but it's just the re-release, I guess, with a couple additional things, if I'm not mistaken, from like a Super Nintendo game from back in the early 90s that was never released here. Part of the Kunio-kun series, part of the River City series, obviously. And that game's really short, River City Girls Zero. I just stopped playing it for whatever reason.
Right.
And I only had like less than an hour to go. So I jumped in and finished that. And then I immediately moved into River City Girls 2. So if you see the screenshot that I posted yesterday for River City Girls Zeros was at 5:57 p.m. That was actually probably an hour or so after I had finished Zero. I just, for whatever reason, forgot to put, Windows keycap. I played on PC. Windows screenshot. And then just never stuck it in Discord because I immediately loaded River City Girls 2, walked away to take Avenger outside, came back down, started playing, and forgot to post the screenshot because I was already high and, you know, I forget to do things. So I started River City Girls 2 around 5, and I literally stopping once, maybe twice, to take Avenger out and to use the bathroom myself. I ate dinner through playing, I got hooked. I don't know why. Like, the music is so good, which we knew it was going to be. The music in River City Girls, the original, was phenomenal. Megan McDuffie is incredible with the vibe that she's captured with River City Girls. And just the way that it was changing through each screen as you moved about, and the story actually being relatively cheesy, but I liked it, entertaining. I don't know. I knew that I could get through it in one sitting as long as I pushed myself to do so, and I did. So,
you know, we all set goals for ourselves.
Yeah, well, I
worthy
mean,
endeavor.
I wasn't doing anything else last night, and we're
not
doing
me,
a bonus.
Especially.
Well, that's true. You are soon. You're welcome. But we are doing
a
bonus.
I expect you to go all in one run as well, just like you did with that game.
Yes, 10 hours.
No stopping and starting.
10 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, we start and we finish.
Yeah, we start and we finish multiple times.
Multiple times. I have a buddy who just got a... maybe this is illegal. Should I say this?
I don't know.
Do you think I should say this? Like,
I don't know what it is. Sure.
All right, you can cut it later if you want to.
Can't be illegal.
I think it is a little bit. Like, I don't think like the feds are going to come bust down my door because it's not me. Anyways, I have a buddy who just got a hold of a bottle of 40 milligram pills of Cialis, which is like super Viagra, is my understanding.
Okay.
And 40 milligrams, I guess, is a lot. Like, when doctors prescribe it.
When it sounds like a lot.
Yeah. When doctors prescribe it to dudes that need it, they usually do 5 milligrams. And then they're like, all right, take 2 if like you really
need
it.
Is it a 40 milligram pill or is it 40 milligram total? Wow.
No, 40 milligram pills. He has a bottle of them.
Damn.
I know. Which the way it works is it's like a vasodilator, right? So it like draws blood into certain veins, which is how erections are formed, kids. So anyways, he's got these 40 milligram pills of Cialis and he's like, what should I do with them? And I was like, I mean, there's only one way to find out, buddy. And he's like, so I've been asking him, I'm like, did you try it yet? He's like, no, I'm scared, bro. He's like, what if like, I can't stop? And I'm like, let's go, man. He's like, you just sound really interested. I'm like, well, I am.
I'd be a little scared myself, I think.
So here's what may or may not happen. I may try one just to see what happens. I'm not going to update on this show,
sure,
but I may update in the Discord.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all. Anyways, how did we get here? Holy smokes. Now we're talking about boners.
I don't know.
Anyways, River City Girls. Oh, me and you were having sex for 10 hours.
Yeah. But the music really, I mean, like it definitely is just like a 40 milligram Cialis. It'll keep you going the entire time.
Who's the music for this?
Megan McDuffie.
That's who I thought it was. Okay.
Yeah. But it's just a great game as well. It's a really good follow-up. So again, starting it at 5, finishing it, I posted the screenshot. This one I posted as soon as I finished it. It was 3:01. I was ready to be done because it took me just over or just around, maybe a little less, because I did stop a few times to take Avenger out and to throw dinner in the microwave. So a little less than 10 hours. And
okay,
the how long to beat has it right around the 10-hour mark, a little bit more actually than 10 hours for a normal playthrough. So I actually got through it slightly quicker than the average, but I also, so the map is quite large and it's broken up into individual stages, and each stage, like, it's, I don't know if you've ever played the original, but it's set up like the way the map is layered, it looks like comic book panels almost.
Okay.
And they're all connected together. There were several panels or stages that I did not go into, so I did not have them uncovered on the map. So I only went where the game directed me to go, or if there was a side mission that I was interested in doing.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I didn't do every side mission. I did most of them, actually, but I didn't do all of them. There was a few. There was one that was like this dude wanted to race across the town, and I just wasn't interested. I didn't want to run all the way back the way I came. And there was another one, finding 20 cats. I didn't find all the cats. I found the cats that I saw as I was walking around, but I didn't actively go out and seek the cats. However, there was this really cool, like, dodgeball minigame and side mission that I did do, where you were helping train up this, like, group of teenagers or kids for dodgeball and just throwing dodgeballs at them. I thought that was fun.
Two dudes seeking the cats. That's what it should have been.
Two dudes seeking the cats. There was a volleyball side mission that I enjoyed. There was another one too. What was it? It dealt with No, Ghost Peppers was the main mission. Damn, I don't remember what it was because I did run through it so quickly and not really paying attention. I watched Dynamite during River City Girls 2, or not Dynamite, Rampage last night. But there was another side mission that I enjoyed as well. I just thought it was really well done. And bringing the characters that we were introduced to in the original River City Girls, but then introducing additional characters as well that just improved the cast even more. Same voice actors back. I just had a blast, man. And I really hope that, well, I hope two things, maybe three. But I would like to see River City Girls continue, right? Like, I think Way Forward has something here with River City Girls on top of just River City Ransom and the Kunio-kun series. I think this has been widely received by them, or for them. But they also introduce a character at one point, maybe a slight spoiler, but it's probably a joke, so I'm okay with it. They introduce a character called Sunny Lee, and he's the third Double Dragon brother. I would like to see him appear in a Double Dragon game.
Yeah, yeah. I would now as well.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, they're like, we don't know who you are. Misako and Kyoko, the two lead character girls, like, we have no idea who you are. We've never heard of you. He's like, well, just because I'm not in all the games doesn't mean I don't exist.
He's like the third Hemsworth brother that nobody cares about.
Yeah, exactly. You're not Chris, you're not Liam, who cares, right?
Exactly. If you're not Thor or Geralt of Rivia.
Oh, that's fucking funny. But yeah, I don't know, man. I had a lot of fun with it. There's still more for me to go back and do if I wanted to. Like, once the credits roll, right? There's no playing after it's over because it's a self-contained thing, right? But I could easily jump into this at any time and play through it again if I wanted to. It's a beat-em-up, and I really enjoy that gameplay loop. So if I ever got the itch to go back and run through it again, I could, and there would likely be additional stuff for me to see that would be new if I wanted to, but same was true about the original, and I never went back.
Right.
So I probably won't again. Like, once is usually good enough for me.
Fair enough.
I never went back and did Shredder's Revenge again either. Like, once is usually good enough for me.
Ah, man, I played that game a lot.
But I don't know, man. I think I would recommend this. I know Sev asked, or said in Discord he hasn't picked it up yet and was asking if it's short. I wouldn't consider 10 hours short. I mean, for a beat-em-up, that's pretty standard length.
Really, really good, yeah.
Yeah, for a beat-em-up, that's pretty standard length. Maybe even slightly on the longer side even. So, but yeah, it's a fun game. I would say if you're interested, if you like the first one, definitely check this out. But if you're unsure, it'll be on sale eventually.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. It'll be on sale eventually. But that is what's new with you. So let's jump into a little Sean Woman lightning round. Kyle, we actually do have a couple pieces of news here this week. I had to go through a couple of different websites because it's still a slow time, right? Nothing major is still happening unless you're in other industries.
Unless you're looking for some Cialis.
Or Cialis, yes. But in the video game industry, it's still relatively light. But we did have a couple things worth talking about this week. So we'll put 10 minutes on the clock and the lightning round begins. Right now, Microsoft will host an Xbox and Bethesda Softworks Developer Direct on January 25th at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. The Direct will present an inside look at games coming to Xbox, PC, and Game Pass over the next few months. The broadcast will be presented by the developers themselves from studios including Arkane Austin, Mojang Studios, Turn 10 Studios, and ZeniMax Online Studios. It will focus on, quote, big features, extended gameplay showcases, and the latest information on Xbox games launching in the next few months, end quote, including the next Elder Scrolls Online content update, Forza Motorsport, Minecraft Legends, and Redfall. According to Aaron Greenberg, the event is currently on pace to be about 43 minutes long, barring any changes before then. One major absence will be Starfield, which Microsoft and Bethesda have said after this was announced that Starfield will be getting its own showcase later this spring before it does release.
You know, I'm actually glad that Starfield's not going to be present here because
me too, because
that
otherwise
would
it would have gotten like a 20 minutes of the 43 minutes.
25 of the 43 minutes would have been Starfield, which is fine. I'm hyped for Starfield.
Me too.
The game needs a freaking release date. It has to get a release date soon. Microsoft, hurry up. But I like that we get 43 minutes of upcoming games in the first half of this year. I think
it shouldn't be just those four games. Like,
right.
That would be 10 minutes per game if they were doing 43 minutes in just four games, which I could see maybe one of them, right, getting 10 minutes. Redfall, maybe.
I think Minecraft Legends, too. I think both of those games show a lot of
promise and will have huge followings. Dives we see during this showcase or this direct. Right.
And both games that I'm looking forward to and want to play.
Sure. I'm also intrigued to see what else appears here. If there will be, you know, any new first party games, new third party games debuting, right? I know it says they are going to focus on titles launching in the next few months, but that's never true.
Yeah, there's always something weird that gets thrown in towards you. Yeah, one more thing, Nintendo.
Exactly. So I'm curious if anything will appear like that. I also don't think this means Redfall launches before Starfield. I just think that means this is part of the showcase.
Yeah, agreed.
I think Starfield will get its direct or showcase, whatever they end up wanting to call that, probably at the beginning of March.
Yeah.
And then it releases near the end of March.
Ooh, I don't know that it'll be that quick of a turnaround. I think we'll see maybe a May or June release, but
I think they want Starfield out this fiscal year before the end of March.
I mean, yes, if possible, right? But I don't know.
If Starfield is May or June, Redfall may release first then.
That's true. I'm still not convinced Redfall's going to be good. Did you see there was a report the other day that was talking about how everybody's assuming that Redfall is Left 4 Dead, but it's not? It's much more... What did they compare it to? Shoot, now I can't remember what it was. Hold on.
I didn't see the story.
I'm looking for it now. It says everybody's assuming that it was a Left 4 Dead kind of style game, but it's not. Man, and then they did compare it to something else.
Animal Crossing. Kirby.
Oh, they just said that it's not like Left 4 Dead. We love Left 4 Dead. This is not Left 4 Dead in any way, really, other than colorful characters. When you play alone in our game, you have one character. There are not bots. This is a consistent campaign throughout the entire game. It's just a four-player co-op campaign, but it's not a Left 4 Dead game. It's not going to play or act like a Left 4 Dead game.
I'm 100% excited for Redfall. I like Arkane as a studio. I know you do not have a lot of love for Dishonored, but I really enjoy Arkane as a studio, and I will be there for Redfall, and I am excited to hopefully play that with you.
Oh, I'll be there.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, let's see here. Oh, this is a good one. I'm excited about this one.
We didn't cover this back
when the news first broke, but for those that don't know, YouTuber Video Game Donkey started his own publishing studio, Big Mode, this past week. Big Mode announced their first title to be published under the label Animal Well, set to release on PC and PS5. Animal Well first debuted at the Summer Game Fest during the Day of the Dev showcase, and is an open-ended 2D Metroidvania-like game set within a gloomy, mysterious location. If you remember, Brian, during the Day of the Devs, this was one that we both picked out as a really phenomenal-looking game with a lot of promise that we were both very much looking forward to. And then, some months later, Donkey comes out and says that he's making his own publishing company because he wants to help indie creators make these very interesting, unique games that you're not getting from AAA studios, right? He wants to help market and publish those games.
Right.
And his first game is Animal Well, which I think looks amazing. I think this is a perfect first game for Video Game Donkey to dive into. And I'm a big Donkey fan anyways. I really like Donkey's videos. I think he's a very intelligent businessman. You know, how he runs his YouTube channel, how he runs his Twitch stream. I like his videos. I think he's funny. I also think he's pretty insightful about games in a way that not a lot of reviewers are. When reviewers dive into games, they get into a lot of real nitty-gritty stuff, and Donkey pretty much will just focus on, did I have fun with this game? It's the same thing that I appreciate about Yahtzee, even though I don't always agree with them, right? It's, was this game fun? Did I enjoy this game? Yes or no, right? And that's really what matters at the end of the day, because we're playing video games for entertainment.
Absolutely.
So he focuses on that, and I think that he's pretty committed to making video games be purely for entertainment and really pushing the boundary on these fun indie games. I think Animal Well is perfect for that. And I think that Yahtzee and Donkey need to team up for Yahtzee's game as well.
The scope of Animal Well is the right size to start with, right?
Absolutely. Like, I think so.
It's probably going to be no more than a few hours. And it's probably Animal Well. Was that a one-person team?
I can't recall. I don't recall either.
Man,
does it look beautiful?
It looks gorgeous. I can't wait. I'm excited for Dunkey. I think that's cool.
I think it's very cool. Did you watch the video about Yahtzee's game upcoming? Spacebound Villager or whatever
yes.
it's called?
Yeah.
Man, that looks cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
It looks cool. I put this on here for one particular reason. It has been announced that Saudi Arabia's public investment fund has upped its previous stake in Nintendo, which I didn't know they had, but apparently they have investment stakes in a lot of video game companies, including Embracer, which they own a lot of, if not the entire thing. But they increased their stake in Nintendo from 5.01% to 6.07%. So I put this on here because it's a story that we've been talking about in Discord.
Yes.
Due to the potential sale of World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, with Vince McMahon returning to the company after resigning back during the summer from the allegations and scandals. He's back as the CEO and on the board of directors and is now negotiating a sale and a front runner in that sale. And it was reported that it was a done deal, but was since backtracked, is that Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund or whoever, just the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, basically. Did not realize how many pots they had their hands in.
Yeah. And so somebody brought it up in Discord and said, well, that's really weird. Why Saudi Arabia? And I was like, I think I was the one that said, you know, if you realized.
It was you.
Yeah. If you realized just how many things Saudi Arabia was partially owning, you would be blown away. I mean, tons of stuff. And not just Saudi Arabia, but kind of a lot of these big, massive state-run corporations from the Middle East. You know, there is a lot. Saudi Arabia being kind of the major player there.
It's just crazy that an entire country can own shit because, oh, we'll just start an investment fund and now we can own everything. That's, I don't know, it's crazy.
Well, when they control everything, right? I mean,
there you go.
You know, there are entire systems of production and economy built around that. So I also didn't know that they had their hand in Nintendo. I'm not like super shocked, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not shocked.
But holy smokes.
Indeed.
Holy smokes. Let's see. Last story here. Ubisoft has posted a new financial report detailing its current fiscal year results while looking ahead to the next financial period for the company. This report mentioned that the company has canceled 3 games internally, all of which are games the public has not been made aware of. Next up, much to the disappointment of Sean Dog, Skull and Bones has been delayed out of this fiscal year. Man, this game, I called you a fool, Brian, when you said this game wasn't coming out. And
I still don't think it will.
And will now launch sometime between April 2023 and March 2024, if it ever releases at all. I like that little blurb there. Good work. Finally, Ubisoft stated, we can look forward to the launch of Assassin's Creed Mirage and Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, which was delayed out of last year, if I'm not mistaken, later this year. Assassin's Creed Mirage, great. Avatar, whatever.
Will be fun. Assassin's Creed Mirage will be fun. Those games are always fun.
You
Avatar?
Know, both of us. But it will be something.
It will be potentially
something.
Fun. If it's fun, I will love it because I love that environment and that world.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
But if it's awful, I'll stay away.
Right.
But if it's a good game, I'll be there.
Now, what's pretty fun is that you and I both predicted that Ubisoft Connect or whatever the frick it's called was going to close its doors sometime this year. And I think that this is the bell that's ringing that in.
Oh, this is telling, dude. This is telling. Clearly, it's not making them money. They're not making
any money. How could it make them money? They're not releasing any games.
They're not making any money.
So who's signing up for it to play their games that they don't have?
And it's not like they have a crazy in-demand back catalog of games that people want to sign up to play, right? And they're not getting...
Every Assassin's Creed game has been $5 on other shops, right? So if you want to play Assassin's Creed, you own them already. Everyone
You're not
should
getting
if you
Square
want
Enix games. You're not getting Bandai Namco game, right? You're just getting Ubisoft
You're getting Riders
games.
Republic.
And... There are some of third-party games that do come to Ubisoft Connect, but it's very far and few between.
Are
there,
though?
It's mostly just there are. There were some other studios on that service when I have subscribed in the past.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
It was a very long time ago. I was going to sign up again for Skull of Bones, but clearly not anymore.
Division just came to Steam.
Sure.
So that's not like you don't need Kinect to play that anymore. Actually, Division 2 coming to Steam was kind of a big deal and probably more pointing than the story in terms of Ubisoft Kinect, you know, going down the crapper.
Does that make you want to play through it again?
Far Cry Division 2? No.
Yeah.
I still own it.
Remember when you streamed it?
Yeah. I played that game for like a month, dude.
I know.
Got to max level everything.
You were all in.
You know what? I'm actually like looking through their website right now trying to find a list of games that are on here, and you can't even like
find a list of games.
No, it's you get Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, Just Dance. I think that's the only games they have on this stupid service.
No, there's
What's
more.
What's this? The Roller Champions? That never existed, did it? I didn't even know that came out. Nobody
Roller
played it.
Roller Champions? Oh yeah, that was like a Rocket League type of a thing. I think.
It was supposed to be, but nobody played it.
Yeah. I did see a story that Ubisoft Connect is going to be launching soon on Xbox, which or more titles will be rolling out soon, because I know it's already technically some of it's somehow available. Yeah, here it is right here. Ubisoft Plus gearing up for release on Xbox. First 20 plus games revealed. It'll hopefully be available soon.
20 games.
They're going to, yeah, so Ubisoft
Plus.
That's
your offer on Xbox?
Yes.
Which has the biggest game library of all time? You're offering 20? It's going to be 19 of them are Assassin's Creed games.
8 of them. 8 of them are Assassin's Creed games. 3 of them are Far Cry games.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but you're getting Uno.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and Family Feud, so.
Doesn't Hasbro own those? Ooh, we're going to get into that.
Will we? Okay, yeah, we will. Yeah, we will. We'll save that. Well, maybe not that, but
not
we'll
that,
get into
but,
Hasbro. Yeah. No release dates to confirm this week. No delays to really get into outside of Skull and Bones, which we just covered. So I think that'll wrap up the Sean Waltman Lightning Round for this week.
This is Kyle, and one day you can be too. Every Friday, I host what is soon to be your favorite podcast, The Media Files. Me and one of my best friends talk about pop culture happening so that you don't look like an uncultured swine during those boring water cooler conversations. Laughs are shared, tears are cried, and sometimes we have really interesting special guests that you might be familiar with. Download The Media Files wherever you download podcasts, and remember, be kind, be honest, and we'll see you later.
Kyle, you know what that music means. It is time for the new release roulette. And
there's 145 games on the service, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It's Rainbow Six. It's Assassin's Creed. It's Tom Clancy.
That's not terrible.
And it's Far Cry. Oh, and yeah. Watch Dogs. There's all the Watch Dogs, too. There you go.
Yeah. That's not terrible.
Yeah, but it's not good.
That's not good. I know. Light week. We have two games coming out this week, and one of them, however, a very big game that you and I are very, very excited for. I think you're excited.
It's called A Space for the Unbound. I'm just kidding.
Well, no, I'm excited. I am excited for that.
I know, me too.
I really am. But I forgot you had the other game at your number one on Thunderdome, so I know you're excited as well. So let's jump into these games. Game number one coming on Thursday to PC, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. You just mentioned it, A Space for the Unbound. A slice of life adventure game with beautiful pixel art set in the late 90s rural Indonesia that tells a story about overcoming anxiety, depression, and the relationship between a boy and a girl with supernatural powers. When a mysterious supernatural power is suddenly unleashed, threatening their existence, they must explore and investigate their town to uncover hidden secrets, face the end of the world, and perhaps learn more about each other. I think this looks really charming.
Super pretty pixel art with like really great, authentic, what I assume, Indonesian, you know, street side environments. Very, very cool looking game.
And of course, dealing with anxiety, depression, and a relationship between a boy and a girl. I'm there for that. I like all those things.
Of course.
I like all those things. Well, I don't like anxiety and depression, but I like things that deal with anxiety and depression, since I suffer from them both. Shouldn't say that I like them. I don't want to give the wrong impression. I love my depression.
Boy, do I love anxiety.
I love fucking panic attacks. Oh, they're so fun. They're so amazing. I can't wait to have another one. Game number two coming on Friday to Nintendo Switch. Last game of the week, Fire Emblem Engage. Reach. In a war against the Fel Dragon, four kingdoms work together with heroes from other worlds to seal away this great evil. 1,000 years later, the seal has weakened and the Fel Dragon is about to reawaken. As a divine dragon, use rich strategies and robust customization to meet your destiny, to collect emblem rings, not Elden rings, emblem rings, and bring peace back to the continent of Ilios. And yeah, I know you are very excited, as am I, for Fire Emblem Engage.
I am. I think this game has had, I think, significantly less fanfare than Fire Emblem Three Houses did. Would you agree?
Yes, and I think Nintendo is anticipating on it selling less.
But why? Why do you feel that way? Like, what about this game do you think?
Well, okay, this is going to be a more traditional Fire Emblem. Three Houses was a Persona Fire Emblem.
Sure. Okay. That was their attempt into that. Yeah.
Yeah. Was a much bigger JRPG Fire Emblem than Fire Emblem usually is.
And I think that was a lot of people's complaints with it, actually, was the...
Love about it. I absolutely adored it.
In between the battles, running around the school, talking to literally every single NPC. And this game is going to have that. They said that that's not all done up with... But it's streamlined now, right? The hub area
streamlined,
isn't so
and I think
massive.
You're not going to... I was going to say, I don't think you're going to have much exploring to do.
Right.
You did have in Three Houses.
The school was huge.
It was massive.
It was huge. So I think that a lot of people did get tired of that by the end of the game. I necessarily didn't get tired of it. I did have it really well optimized. I knew my route really well. I was like, all right, boom, boom, hit the greenhouse, hit the cafeteria.
Yep, I ran the same route every day.
Boom, boom. I knew what I was doing in that game.
Same route every day.
I do think that this will be a little streamlined, and I think I actually might enjoy that part about it.
Okay.
But I'm so excited for this. They don't miss, man.
Me too. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Fire Emblem Engage. I think it'll be stellar. As you just said, Fire Emblem is generally always really good. So even if it doesn't hold up to Three Houses, you can still bet it's going to be a good game.
Right.
So
right.
I will definitely be picking this up. Relatively easy week. I do think Fire Emblem Engage will score higher than A Space for the Unbound, just because. And my pick of the week is Fire Emblem Engage.
It's my pick of the week. It's my pick of the quarter. I think that this is our first huge release of the year, and it's a Fire Emblem game. I mean, this could very...
Our first of many.
This could very reasonably easily score in the 90s on Open Critic. Maybe a 90 on Open Critic.
It could. We could start the year strong. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a 10 out of 10? Probably not.
It remains to be seen.
Remains to be seen, because Three Houses arguably was, right, in a lot of ways.
I don't think we graded it. I think we made it around a 9 to 9.5, but I think in many ways it excelled so greatly.
Yeah.
But this game looks really, really good. Everything I see about it just gets me more and more hyped for it.
Yeah. Does it make you want to take a Cialis? 48 milligrams.
40 milligrams, Brian. 40 milligrams. Let's not stop my heart. But I think I'm going to. I don't know. Makes me nervous.
Lindsay
never
excited.
Done it before. I'm about to be.
No, I said, is Lindsay excited?
Oh, she's about to be. She's gonna have to be.
She's like, God, no.
Not again. We've done that three times already.
All right. Well, that's a new release roulette for this week. We didn't know what we were going to talk about today for the main discussion. And then you presented a topic to me that I knew hardly anything about.
Right.
So I did some digging. But why don't you introduce it? Because I will probably introduce it poorly.
Okay, well, this has to do, like I kind of alluded to earlier, this has to do in a larger sense about the company Hasbro and one of their subsidiaries, Wizards of the Coast, who Wizards of the Coast has been the major player in tabletop gaming for tabletop RPGs for a long time now. They own Magic the Gathering, they own Dungeons and Dragons, and they were, if I'm not mistaken, they were one of the original publishers of the Pokemon card game as well. And so Wizards of the Coast has been the source of kind of tabletop RPGs for many, many years now. And Hasbro as a company has, and everybody knows Hasbro, right? Hasbro as a company is the owner of Transformers and the owner of a lot of different board games and toys that we grew up with and are very, very familiar with, right?
Yeah, Parker Brothers, man, that's Hasbro, isn't it?
I don't know, are they?
I know, yes.
They own G.I. Joe.
So they own...
Oh, they do own Parker Brothers.
They own
right.
Parker Brothers, they own Milton Bradley as well.
Holy cow, man.
And Kenner, which I'm not as familiar with. Milton Bradley doesn't exist anymore? Parker Brothers doesn't exist anymore. Wow, I didn't realize those labels were just gone.
Yeah.
So it's all just Hasbro now. Damn. Yeah,
but they own Transformers, they own G.I. Joe, they own the Power Rangers, Monopoly, Twister, My Little Pony. I mean, Peppa Pig. Yeah, these are huge things, right? That Hasbro owns and are massive. Everybody recognizes these properties, so they own a lot of things. However, Hasbro has been in a kind of a downward spiral for the last couple years, I think. And they've been losing money. They've just been bleeding money. And it's one of these companies that you think you're too big to fail, right? Because you own so many incredible properties and so many incredible things. You own Dungeons and Dragons, for heaven's sake.
Right.
However, they just keep making awful decisions. They continue to make awful decisions about their properties. They continue to try to monetize the hell out of every little thing that they can, which obviously doesn't work for a lot of companies, right? A lot of companies try and fail to over monetize their products, and it leads to a lot of fan backlash. And that's exactly what's happening currently with Wizards of the Coast and Dungeons and Dragons. Dungeons and Dragons is obviously the most successful tabletop RPG of all time. It's huge and it's a household name. But I think one of the things that made Dungeons & Dragons so incredibly successful was something called the OGL, the Open Game License. And the Open Gaming License allowed anybody to take the Dungeons & Dragons framework and create from that framework, right? You don't have to have a contract with Hasbro or Wizards of the Coast. You don't have to, like, you know, sign up for some special program. You could take Dungeons and Dragons and the rules provided by that and create campaigns and characters and worlds and maps and miniatures and figures. And you could allow all of these things to be created for Dungeons and Dragons and still own them as your private creation, right? And sell them and make money off of them, which is very important here, right? And so Dungeons and Dragons for many, many years has thrived on this community, on this industry of people creating campaigns, maps, figures, and selling them, and books, even books, for heaven's sake, right?
Sure.
And selling them, and it's what has catapulted, I think, Dungeons & Dragons into the stratosphere of public consciousness. However, Wizards of the Coast recently announced that they are updating that OGL, that Open Gaming License, and as part of it, they are going to start requiring royalties on anything that's sold over a certain dollar amount. They are going to say that at any time they can pull the plug of the contract of the OGL and take over control of any sort of creative project that anybody has, and a few other things, right? This is a really, really big problem. Now, the backlash has been massive and there's been statements issued since then that they're going to walk back on it. But it does open this big discussion about exactly, you know, how bad these decisions are in trying to over monetize these things, right? And create, I mean, really stifle this creative community that has propelled the popularity of this brand.
So I did see that Hasbro was forced, right, basically to break their silence and finally do something.
Right, and all of these came from verified leakers as well.
Sure,
so
yes,
nothing
yes.
had been announced officially by Hasbro, except somebody from internal says, oh boy, this is bad, sends it out to, you know, who knows, but it gets out publicly.
But I guess there was obviously, as you mentioned, a massive backlash, so
huge
much so
backlash,
that
yes.
subscriptions were being canceled by the truckload to D&D Beyond, which is what made Wizards of the Coast and, I guess, theoretically Hasbro say something
right
in relations to the Open Game License. And that has, or at least the licensing rule updates have been delayed for the time being. Now, I don't know how long it's been delayed. I don't know that I've came across that info, but they are going to reevaluate maybe some things.
The new OGL was also going to make you report any money that you earned off of Dungeons and Dragons related materials. You had to report that to Wizards of the Coast as part of this contract, right? So
okay.
It also kind of opens up this, you know, this kind of silly thing where people can say, oh, this isn't intended for Dungeons and Dragons. It's just a 4-inch tall resin statue of a dragon who I don't know what people are going to do with it. It's a model. I created it. You know what I mean? Oh, this isn't for Dungeons and Dragons. This is just a story about people adventuring that people can pretend they're those people if they want. So you can obviously like skirt around this. I think that there's ways to do that. But still, I think that the intent here from Hasbro was to start pulling in money that they feel like they're losing from their game and not realizing that they are making money from these people in a kind of in a roundabout way, right? As people create these popular campaigns and create these popular things to do, they are now investing money into Dungeons and Dragons. The popularity of Dungeons and Dragons grows and more people get into it, right? There is a Dungeons and Dragons movie coming out soon. There are video games that have been relatively popular, much more popular than their previous attempts. And it's all because of the public consciousness. And that is because people are allowed to create within that framework. Now, like you said, they did break their silence. And I want to read a part of this statement that they've put out to say that they're going to kind of backstep here. They said, when we initially conceived of revising the OGL, it was with three major goals in mind. First, we wanted the ability to prevent the use of D&D content from being included in hateful and discriminatory products. Second, we wanted to address those attempting to use D&D in Web3 blockchain games and NFTs by making clear that OGL content is limited to tabletop role-playing content like campaigns, modules, and supplements. And third, we wanted to ensure that the OGL is for the content creator, the home brewer, the aspiring designer, our players, and the community, not major corporations to use for their own commercial and promotional purposes. This is a lie. This is an obvious lie, right?
It has to be.
The purpose of revising the OGL was because your stock has been tanking for a year and you needed to make more money, and you always make awful financial decisions. You have with Magic the Gathering for years. You have with Dungeons and Dragons for years. This was your newest attempt. You're not fooling anybody with this. Anyways, continuing. Driving these goals were two simple principles. One, our job is to be good stewards of the game. Wrong. And two, the OGL exists for the benefit of the fans, which it did, and you were trying to make it not, right? Nothing about those principles has wavered for a second. This is another lie. Continuing. That was why our early drafts of the new OGL included the provisions they did. That draft language was provided to content creators and publishers so their feedback could be considered before anything was finalized, in addition to language allowing us to address discriminatory and hateful conduct and clarifying what types of products the OGL covers. Our drafts included royalty language designed to apply to large corporations attempting to use OGL content. It was never our intent to impact the vast majority of the community. However, it's clear from the reaction that we rolled a one. It has become clear that it is no longer possible to fully achieve all three goals while staying true to our principles. So I do think there's some truth in this, right? I don't think that they're entirely like trying to pull the blinders over us. They are admitting that they messed up. They are admitting that they were wrong, which is a good move. I think, you know, everybody says, look, they admit they're wrong. Okay, that's good. When you're wrong, you should admit that you're wrong and you should try to make those things right. I think that shows character. But you're lying about why you're wrong is the problem here. It's very, very obvious that you're wrong. If you look at Hasbro stock, and let me pull up our Hasbro stock chart here. That's actually up 0.2% today, but that's not anything.
Notice where my pointer is at right now on the screen here as we look at the Hasbro chart.
Yeah. Over the past year, they're down about 34%. And at its highest point was down about 43% or so. And so that's a big drop. A 43% stock drop, and it's pretty much a straight line downwards over the course of the past year. And if you look over the course of the past 5 years, it's really gone up and down, but the last 2 years especially has been kind of a steady and gradual decline. So 28% down over the past 5 years, 36% down over the last year, and I think it's jumped a little bit with this statement. But it's obvious. It's obvious that you're revising the OGL. This OGL would not have affected everybody except for a little extra paperwork, right? The royalty number was anything over, I think, $750,000
of revenue. That's what I saw. Yeah.
So then there's royalty payments at that point, which doesn't seem significant for most people and probably isn't, but it is pretty significant when you start to look at how you interact with Dungeons and Dragons, when you start to look at using websites like Roll20, right? Kickstarter campaigns, right? All of these things start to play into that and how you interact with the D&D community.
Do you think it would affect games not under the Dungeons and Dragons name? So excluding anything like that's been released under the D&D name or is in the future, but looking at, say, Divinity or Baldur's Gate or games like that
Gate is under the D&D name.
Okay, it is.
I believe
Divinity isn't.
Divinity is not, and neither but it is. I mean, there's a lot of games that aren't. But
well, what was that other one?
Kingmaker?
Maybe like Pathfinder? Something like that?
So, Pathfinder Pathfinder is a pretty interesting case as well, because Pathfinder is a tabletop role-playing game initially that has made a lot of like video games and like related media, right? There's been a bunch of stuff, but Pathfinder was initially based on Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
And I don't know if they're actually owned by Hasbro. I don't believe they are.
Because Divinity being Larian, they're not owned by Hasbro, but when Divinity is released, it is heavily marketed As a Dungeons and Dragons-like experience.
Yeah, I don't
Would
think
that affect something like Divinity?
I don't think so. I think that, I mean, there has to be some creative license for things like this, right? People create things all the time. And really, what is Dungeons and Dragons besides a playable framework of something like Lord of the Rings, right? So everything draws inspiration. And I think that there's a lot of precedence to show that you can draw inspiration from things and not be a derivative of it. So I think that Larian Studios specifically would probably be safe. Pathfinder is a really interesting case, and I don't know how that would tie in, but Baldur's Gate would definitely be involved in this. Any, you know, whoever's developing Baldur's Gate would have to answer to Wizards of the Coast. If they don't already, I don't know.
What's your take on Dungeons and Dragon type shows such as Critical Role?
Now there's a really, really big one. Critical Role is creating content based on Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Right. And they released a statement yesterday.
Yeah. Their content is directly based on Dungeons and Dragons, and they would fall under that royalty structure.
Because they definitely make enough.
Oh, they make well over enough. And they have a TV show, for heaven's sake, on Amazon, an animated TV show. And I guarantee that contract was more than $750,000, and that the creation of that show was more than $750,000. This is that's a multi-million dollar production in and of itself. I believe that the Critical Role Twitch channel was at one point the highest subbed Twitch channel total. I think they had more subs than any other channel at one point. I mean, they're incredibly popular. So yes, they would absolutely fall under that structure and be affected by the new OGL.
Their statement did say, I have it pulled up here.
Critical Role's?
Critical Role has always supported creators and game development in the tabletop scene. We stand by our industry peers as well as anyone who takes a risk creating a new system or developing an original idea. The beauty of gaming comes from the opportunity to share inclusive, diverse, and compelling stories from a wide spectrum of creators. That's exactly why we launched our own game publishing company a few years ago, because we believe that broadening the field of creators boosts the entire industry. The success we have experienced is thanks to the passion and interest of the greater tabletop community, and we commit to fostering an environment that allows everyone the opportunity to easily share the stories they wish to tell.
So it looks like Baldur's Gate, also obviously developed by Larian, co-published by Wizards of the Coast, which I wasn't.
Oh, there you go. So that would have fallen in.
Anyway.
Yeah,
it probably
matter.
Already is. But yeah, I mean, this would have had huge ripple effects on the community. Huge ripple effects. And I think probably unintended effects from Hasbro as well. I don't think they fully really thought about things like Critical Role, but I mean, that's massive, right? Critical Role has done wonders for the popularity of their game.
Absolutely. So many people have jumped in because of shows like that, or even other, like when Easy Allies used to have their tabletop adventures, like, you know,
every now and then these big Twitch streamers all get together and do a campaign together.
You know? Almost pulled one off for RPG Era at one point.
We sure did.
Yeah, we almost did that.
Still not opposed.
I wouldn't be either.
Except maybe. Now we got to pay royalties.
Except maybe.
I mean, they walked back. But I mean, it's just another kind of, you know, big indication of these companies having no idea how to correctly monetize their things. You know, it's suits and ties, only looking at the black and the red and trying to figure out how to make that black number bigger and the red number smaller, and actually, you know, effectively ruining their products in the meantime. So luckily they're walking back on it. We do not have an updated version of the OGL at this time, but hopefully we get some sort of, you know, hopefully it remains mostly unchanged.
Hopefully. I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
Have to update once we have the updated OGL. We'll have to update the listeners if anyone cares out there. If anyone cares about
they should care.
On.
This is a huge
Techie
story.
Techie Geek cares.
Of course
Techie
he does,
Geek
yeah.
cares. Yeah, he cares.
He always
he
does.
Cares.
He and cares. I care about
he
him.
Cares. Of course, as you should. Oh, but do you know what that music means? Before we get it out of here, we do quickly want to do a little Kickstart My Heart. And there isn't a lot of things on Kickstarter as of this week, as of time of recording. I I scoured the projects we love and just basic games page for Kickstarter, and there's not a lot on there. So I pulled the best thing I could. It is a monster collecting RPG filled with mysteries, memories, and emotions, all while experiencing exciting combat and boss battles. So hoping maybe you'd be excited about this one. It's called Lumen Tale, Memories of Trey. Lumen Tale's Memories of Trey is a game of exploration, experiences, and emotions.
I miss Trey.
Poor Trey. Yeah. It's born out of the team's love for the monster collector genre, so like Pokemon, and their mixed feelings about its current state. It says, during the game, you'll play as Trey while exploring the land of Talia, a vast region filled with mysteries. After a certain event, you'll set on your journey to regain your lost memories and learn all about the deep hate and separation that afflicts the land. Your guiding light will be the legend about a mysterious desire. But what? But what will that be true? Discover this and a lot more in Lumen Tale Memories of Trey. So you have something called the Animons. Not the Pokemons, Animons, yes. But they're the Animons. The Animons are the mystical creatures that inhabit the universe of Lumen Tale. They're made of special energy that flows throughout the whole world, but not much more is known of their nature. Since ancient times, humans have tried to study and learn more about them, all driven by one striking characteristic that they all have. They're capable of affecting the feelings and interacting with the very soul of every living being. This extraordinary trait has sparked a deep curiosity in humankind, leading to countless efforts to uncover the truth about their origin. Animon species are incredibly diverse, with some rare varieties exhibiting traits of species that are now scarce or extinct. These are known as lost Animons, and encountering one is considered extremely lucky. Does it talk about their types? Because I'm sure they have different types. The Animons are beings incapable of being hurt by traditional means. Okay. It doesn't talk about their types.
There are typings in the video. It just doesn't.
It's not in
like,
the text.
Explicitly list them out here.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's types, right? Like fire.
There is. Yeah, I'm
lightning.
And I can't tell what all of them are because they're typed by symbols, and I don't know what the symbols mean. So
yeah.
This one's electric. There's definitely a lightning one. There's like poison, I think. I don't know.
So coming off of just finishing Pokemon Violet and Scarlet, uh-huh. The new generation, looking at Lumen Tale. Oh, there's like little decorating. You can customize the Anispace with accessories like little chairs and stuff. How do you think Lumen Tale looks?
I actually really like the look of it. It's this weird mix of graphics where the environment is almost kind of like low poly 3D, and all of the characters and units are pixel art.
Yes.
So you've got this, it almost kind of makes it look like a mobile game, unfortunately. That's kind of the feel I get out of that, which isn't great, but I do think it looks cool. I'm always so hesitant about these games because Pokemon has a massive team of people that are all like brainstorming and they don't always hit, right? But the designs and the typings of Pokemon and the moves that the Pokemon can do, this is a battle game, an RPG first and foremost, right?
Yeah, so, it's a turn-based RPG.
So you have to have some semblance of understanding of game mechanics and balance, which, like I said, Pokemon Company and Game Freak doesn't always get right, but is pretty good. Obviously, it's massive, so the designs of the Pokemon are always really good. These companies always try their best, or these little developers when they do something like this. It's such a hard genre to break into because you're up against the titan of all titans. And there is no other genre that is dominated by a single franchise like the monster collecting genre is. I'm always so skeptical of things like this because you're, like I said, the titan of all titans is your competition. And are you going to be better than that? Very, very slim chance.
So they do give us a little preview of what the gameplay of Lumen Tale will look like. It says it'll feature a lot of mini games, exploration, and ambient puzzles, but the main gameplay revolves around the interaction with the Animons. There are two ways of interacting with the Animons, by using the Holoken in the overworld or by fighting them in battles. So this object called the Holoken, it's a device that was created in ancient times and is the main tool the Lumens use to catch and fight with the Animons. Although it's similar to a yo-yo, its launching system is oftentimes implemented in particular ways that enable the user to be more comfortable. By launching it and bumping it into an Animon, the Holoken will trigger a mechanism that, by using a bilia, which is a little special marble, apparently.
All of these words, I don't know, man.
It'll begin a catching sequence on the Anemone. During that time frame, a little minigame will start that might increase the catch success rate for that specific sequence. In some cases, Anemone won't be able to be caught directly and will require multiple throws to be caught. Performing a successful catch will give you back the Bilia with an Anemone link. Caught Anemones are sent into the Anaspace, but by using a Bilia with an Anemone link in conjunction with the Holoken, you can summon the Anemone back. And that's not all. Using Bilias with Anemone links will let you channel its elemental power through the Holoken, and this way interact with some specific puzzles in the game world. Using the Holoken requires both skills and wit. There's so much to learn. And I think that aspect is kind of cool.
I found all the types.
Okay, good.
Electric, virus, anomalous, which is psychic. Virus is poison, obviously. Chakra, which is internal energy. Demon.
Oh, there's a lot.
Geo, ancient, grass, fire, ice, aura, which controls light, wind, and benevolent energy. Water, and data. Ooh, data type.
Some of those would be kind of cool for Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Things like data, things like
chakra.
Demon. They would never do demon. Chakra.
Chakra would be dope.
Yeah. Pretty neat.
Yeah. They also have the emotions, like their attributes. So it says Felicis is the attribute of joy and happiness. Mestus is the attribute of gloom and sadness. Furor is the attribute of anger and wrath. Horens is the attribute of fear and anxiety. And Cerium is the attribute of calm and tranquility.
I'm a Felicis for sure.
Probably a mix between a Mestus and a Horens.
Oh, no.
Gloomy and sad
you're a demon type, anxious. Demon type Mestus Horens Anemone.
Probably, yeah. Dark, just constantly surrounding me. I don't know, man. This looks pretty cool.
It does look cool.
They're currently estimating delivery. They're just saying end of 2024 right now, so the end of next year.
Yeah, December 2024 is what the rewards show.
Yeah, so who knows if it will be next year. It could potentially slip. Right now, it's just planned for PC, but Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox are stretch goals. The stretch goals are not massive, right? So they're looking for $81,363 US dollars, which is 75,000 pounds, if that's what this is. They're about
euros.
To hit their funding goal. Euros, whatever. They're about to hit their funding goal. They're like 7,000 off, so they're close to being funded. So once they get to 90,000 euros, that's where the console ports come in. So 75,000 project funded, 80,000 they're implementing a housing system, 90,000 console ports. 100,000 opening is voiced by Emmy Evans. So
we need to get to
100,000 because I just saw that. We need to get to 100,000 for Lumentail. Emmy Evans is the vocalist behind the soundtrack to Nier and is the one that always sings in that like made up language and so fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Emmy Evans is a gem, dude. I saw her at that Nier concert in Chicago a few years back. She's just incredible. Absolutely incredible. So we need that. We need her on this game. 100,000 euros. And the cheapest way to jump in is what? 22 US dollars. Get you a copy of the game. Discord role, wallpaper, and exclusive progress board access. There's still 23 days to go. We could get to 100,000.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, there's still 23 days to go. If a new Monster Collector RPG sounds like it's up your alley, go to Kickstarter.com, check out Lumentail, Memories of Trey. But Kyle, I think that'll bring us to the close of the show this week. Unless you have anything else you want to mention before we go try to find Trey.
Let's go try to find Trey. Can I pull my pee-pee out here for a second?
That's what I was hoping you would ask.
Okay. It's a good one. I'm on 40 milligrams
see.
Of Cialis
that,
right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's looking pretty attentive.
You know what? First of all, if anybody's ever tried Cialis, and you've probably done the 5 or 10, hit me up. I want to know what your experience was, because if I do this,
let
I'm
him
going
know, Zanku.
40. Am I going to have a heart attack?
I don't know if Zanku's ever taken Cialis, by the way. I don't know why.
I don't know either. Don't call out one of our producers. Like, just freaking on the air. Oh, you know Zanku, the guy with ED? Yeah. That guy. Poor Zanku. He didn't deserve this kind of slander.
Well, he knows what he signed up for.
Hey, you know, that's true. Most recent episode of the Media Files, we did talk about a little film on Netflix called White Noise, which is not a film for everybody, but is a film that I actually really, really loved and had a really fun time with. But the song from that movie that plays over the closing credits of that movie is a song by the band LCD Sound System called New Body Roomba. And it plays over, like I said, the closing credits, but the closing credits is also a scene of the movie. And it's so entertaining. And I think the song is really effective and really fun and just a great song to listen to. I've already posted it in our Discord non-VGM music channel. Go listen to it. It's called New Body Roomba by LCD Sound System.
This episode of the Max Level Podcast has been brought to you by RPGEra.com. Please remember to leave us a rating and a review regardless of where you're listening. If you want more of us, check us out on YouTube and Twitch and make sure you're subscribed or following at both places with notifications on. Links to where we can be found on social media as well as to our Discord server and all other important information can be found in the show notes for this episode.